Good morning. Have you ever been asked to do something you couldn't do? Yeah, it happens. For example, what if when you were coming in, you walked through the door and somebody came up to you and said, drummer didn't show up, we need you to play during the worship. How many of you know you couldn't have pulled it off? Yeah, some of you thought you could pull it off, and I could tell because you know how you can tell that the drum kit is level? The drummer drools out of both sides of his mouth. So, drummer jokes, you know? They're always good. Somebody going, what? What is he talking about? Who is this? He seems like a little bit Alzheimer-ish to me. That would be me. Well, this idea of being asked to do something that you cannot do and you can't pull it off, let me just say this one to you then. Jesus has called us to continue the work that he began. And so you might be thinking, well, I can't do what Jesus did. And you're right. We can't do what Jesus did on our own. The good news is we're not on our own. That we have been given what the scriptures call the partner, the advocate, the counselor. And he empowers us and gifts us to be able to be on this Jesus mission. But the prerequisite to walking in this is that you would follow the Spirit. All you have to do is follow the Spirit. What's that mean? And, you know, for some of us that tend toward a little bit more analytical or a little skeptical, once we go, now just follow the Spirit. You know, all of a sudden it's like crystals and what do we do here? I'm not, you know, you're not really of a woo-woo person. And, you know, that just seems like it's in that category for you. Well, I get that. I understand that. And maybe you've had experiences with really spiritual people who are super weird that you just went, I don't think so. That's just not going to work for me. I know for me as a teenager, a new Christian, I was invited to a church with a buddy of mine. He said, yeah, I have to go to my mom's church. Will you come with me? I said, sure. I didn't know anything about anything. And I went, and it didn't take me long to realize after, well, about an hour of vigorous singing that this guy was preaching, that he was preaching to me. I was the visitor. There was about 30 people in this church. And I'm like, okay, there. He's like talking to me, and he's like looking at me, and you need the Holy Ghost, and he's just going on and on. And he was yelling at me and everybody, but mainly me. And I thought, okay, as soon as this is done, I am bolting for the door. But it didn't happen. As soon as it was over, they were on me. And it was like, do you have the Holy Ghost? I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a new Christian. He goes, do you speak in tongues? I went, I don't know about that part. And then it was just like, boom, all 30 people, 29 people, my friend left. And they're like laying hands on me, and they are shouting and spitting and speaking in tongues, man. And they were going at it, and now you try it. And I knew I couldn't do it. It's like, what? I don't even know what you're doing, you know. And I said, I got nothing here, you know. And they're back at it. And I realized, I ain't getting out of there till I get some, okay? So it's like, okay. And then the next time, okay, now you try it. And I knew I had to come up with something. So it was, you know, I made up something. You know, should about a Honda, but about a Kawasaki, you know. And they said, that's it. And I said, yes, I got it. And I was out of there. And then as people would talk to me later about the Holy Ghost and, you know, speaking in tongues and all that, I went, oh, yeah, I'm now familiar with that. No, thank you. You know, that's just a bridge too far. There's some weird people out there, and I don't want any part of it. Well, I had a real misunderstanding because of my experience of the beauty and the power and the majesty of the Holy Spirit in my life and becoming aware of his presence in my life. Let's read our theme verse for this series, Galatians 5:25 out loud. We do this with our outside voices. Want to hear you out there on the patio and from the parent viewing room. Ready, go. Since we are living by the Spirit, that is so bad. Outside voices, ready, go. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. That's a challenge. Follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I can follow the Spirit's leading in every part of Sunday morning in this room. But it gets a lot harder when I'm fighting traffic and dealing with kids and on the job, the people on my job. If you knew, I would tell you the Holy Spirit is leading me to bad stuff, to deal with these people. Well, we are to be always walking in the Spirit. Another way to look at that is consistent surrender. We're to be consistently surrendering. When we have those choices, okay, I could ramp this up and I could go ahead and type a response to that and just tear them a new one right now, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to surrender to what the Holy Spirit is wanting me to say, to do, or to not say, or not do. I'm going to continually surrender. That sounds great, this idea of following the Spirit. But wow, what is it exactly? How do I get to that place? Fortunately, the Apostle Paul understood the confusion, and he wrote some things that will help us. 1 Corinthians 12:1. What I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. So he's saying, look, there's some misconceptions about this. There's been some abuse and twists on it. So let me make it clear. A spiritual gift is an ability that the Holy Spirit gives to a Jesus follower to do the work that Jesus began, to do the work of the ministry. That's why these gifts are given. Now, you have a unique blend of your natural talents and abilities, and then if you're a Jesus follower, these spiritual gifts. We've all got natural talents and abilities. I want to introduce you to somebody with a natural talent and ability. His name is a German guy named Matthias Schleit. And you can see his right arm is about 35% larger than his left arm. It's a deformity. And he is, he is a world champion. What do you think? Arm wrestler. Yeah, can you imagine? He's like 140 pounds when he was 16 and went into this thing. Of course, he beat everybody in his weight category. And it has some real advantages. He has this natural ability. Some disadvantages. Check this out.
Nobody knows what it's like to live with unexpected power. Growing up, I faced many challenges. My unexpected power kept getting in the way.
That was really him, and I love the fact that he's just having fun with this natural ability that he has been given. We all have them. Matter of fact, for example, some of you are naturally musical. You have perfect tone, and some of you aren't. You sing like goats, you know. Some of you, you can play instruments. Ian Clare, our music director, the guitar player, right? He can play 9 instruments proficiently. 9. I can play the radio, okay? So I don't have this gift. Some of you are naturally mechanical. Even when you were a little kid, you were tearing things apart and occasionally even put them back together. You are just naturally bent mechanically. Some of you are naturally artistic. I mean, you walk into a room and you go, oh no, this is all in the wrong, there's no feng shui here at all. And you want to rearrange it. Matter of fact, some of you right now, you're thinking, that's what I'm doing when I get home today. I'm going to rearrange it all again. You're driving everyone else nuts. There's a chair, it's in its place, leave it alone. No, you see it differently. You just have this artistic bent. And then some of us are just naturally athletic. Just, it's just the way it is. Everybody has these natural abilities. And when you become a Christian, you are given gifts by the Holy Spirit to help you do God's work. And what I want to suggest to you is that we can be awakened, alerted to these gifts that God has given to us. And look at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Doesn't mean we're not going to all get the same stuff. You're going to be used by God in a way that's unique to you. And so there's different gifts that are given. No one person has all the gifts, but collectively we have them. And we can accomplish the work of God together when we put these gifts into play. There's lots of gifts, and they're each designed to meet particular needs. Now, I want to encourage you to read this chapter on your own this week, 1 Corinthians 12. You'll find that there's a list of spiritual gifts in there. There's 9 of them listed. This is not an exhaustive list. There's other places in Scripture that list spiritual gifts, and they vary. And I don't even think that any of the lists in the New Testament that you'll find are all the gifts, because I think the Holy Spirit is amazing and eternal, and there's probably so many spiritual gifts that we could never fit them all into the Bible, because He is so about the work of the kingdom through you and I. So there's all kinds of lists. None of them are exhaustive. You're going to see other lists that have things like leadership, mercy, hospitality, teaching, breakdancing, all kinds of gifts that are out there. I made the last one up. In 1 Corinthians 12, there's a couple I want to highlight. One of them is there's a gift that's called the word of wisdom. And that someone who is in need of what do I do with this situation? How do I deal with that? I've got to make this decision, or this is a bad deal. I need wisdom. The Bible says, well, pray for wisdom. The Holy Spirit will give it to you. He may give it to someone else who then comes to you with that word of wisdom. And then it's up to you to either receive what you're hearing from God or receive what you're hearing from that person. Now, happened to me this week. I was golfing, and I just could not hit my driver. We got about halfway into this thing, and I hit another bad drive, and I turned around to these three guys I'm golfing with. I said, what is wrong? Give me some advice. And Jerry stepped forward and said, well, you're a lousy golfer. It was a word of wisdom, and it rang true. It rang true. So it's just a gift. Another one is a word of knowledge, and that is where you are given special knowledge that you wouldn't have otherwise gotten unless the Holy Spirit gave it to you. You see it in John chapter 4 when Jesus is talking to a woman at the well, and he says, oh, bring your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. He goes, that's true. You've had 5, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And that, boom, reality, no one, how would he know this? It opened her heart to Jesus in a whole new way. And it ended up opening up that village to Jesus as well. This word of knowledge. And there's power in this. And I won't get into all of them, but there's a number of them in their faith, healing, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. There's a number of different ones. So are you aware of maybe a way that the Holy Spirit has gifted you to continue the work on this planet, the work of Jesus? Are you aware? Can you say, well, kind of this is how it seems to work in my life? If not, consider becoming aware. So how do we get there? How do we awaken to these spiritual gifts? If you're taking notes, jot this down. Well, I'm becoming aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're beginning to recognize in your daily life when the Holy Spirit is near, when He's up to something in you. This idea of being aware is I'm determining to be open to the presence of the Holy Spirit in my day to day. I'm open. Lord, help me. I want to be aware of this. Richard Rohr, author, said this: we cannot attain the presence of God because we're already in the presence of God. What's absent is awareness. The awareness that God is moving and is redeeming and is restoring all around me, whether I'm aware of it or not, He is at work. There's this thing called frequency illusion. Here's the meaning of that. A cognitive bias which describes a curious psychological fact. After learning some bit of new information, we start noticing it everywhere else. It's kind of like this. If you said, oh, I'm going to buy this new car, and I want to buy a kind of a unique, cool car. And so you go out there, and you buy the unique, cool car, and then you start driving around, and you start seeing your unique, cool car everywhere. It's like, what is the deal? Everyone is driving a purple Kia Rio, you know? When did this happen? It's all of a sudden I bought it and everybody decided to do the same thing. It isn't that a bunch more people decided to go buy a purple Kia Rio. Thank God. What it really is you are now aware of purple Kia Rios. You have a heightened awareness. You have eyes to see. The same thing is true of the Spirit. When you begin to open yourself to the Holy Spirit, you begin to see Him at work. You now have eyes to see a little bit more of what God is up to in your world, where you live. That's pretty exciting stuff. Another awakening step is I'm accepting my assignment on the mission of God. Okay, I'm becoming aware. Now I'm starting to say, okay, Lord, you know, here I am. Send me. I'm going to accept this assignment. It's almost like, all right, the check is blank. I signed it. You fill it in, Jesus. I'm ready to be on assignment with you. I want to be a participant in your kingdom. Every Christian is gifted to do his work. But God doesn't hire us to work in his garage and then not give us any tools. He gives us the tools. He gives us the power. He gives us the gifts, the abilities to do the work that he's calling us to do. Verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, right? Or underline for the common good. That's why it's given. The Holy Spirit's gifts are not given so that you can look more spiritual, so that you can look like you're really in. They're given for the common good. God is calling you and me to be a player, to be a participant, not a spectator. Sadly, many churches are a lot like football stadiums. 22 people in desperate need of rest and 70,000 in desperate need of exercise. So get out of the stadium benches and get in the game. That's what we all need to do. That idea that we're gifted for the common good. The gifts are given to benefit others, not ourselves. Not to make me look more spiritual. Not to highlight, bring attention to me. It's just a gift that's been given. It doesn't make you more spiritual to have this gift. It's like giving a 16-year-old a Lamborghini does not make him a better driver. Okay, it's probably the opposite, actually. You're gifted, and it doesn't necessarily have really anything to do with you. It's just now, how will you respond to it? He's just decided to gift you this amazing thing when we came into relationship with Jesus. God is at work, and he's calling you alongside in that work, which is what? We are to be people helping people find and follow Jesus. That's the work. Another step in this awakening process is I'm playing my part. I'm becoming aware. I'm saying, okay, I'm in. And now I'm actually putting the car into gear and I'm moving forward and playing my part. You're important. Your gifts are important. And he's gifted you to make an impact. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it. He goes on to talk about the different parts of the body and how one is not more important than the other, that they all work together. And that metaphor applies to the church. And we all have different gifts. We have different abilities. We have different personality types and traits. And God uses all of us together to accomplish his purposes on this planet. God did his work through Jesus as he walked here. Now Jesus has commissioned us to follow in his footsteps and carry on this work. And then he sent his Spirit to empower us and gift us to pull that off. So here's the question then. What's your part? What part are you playing in this process? I got an email recently. I'll read part of it to you. I Googled Discover Spiritual Gifts this morning and got 333,000 hits. I lost count of the number of tests that are available. I've taken them before, and they're interesting and fun, but it occurred to me that the single best thing that I ever did to help me determine my gifts was to serve. Just by jumping in and trying out different volunteer opportunities, it didn't take long for me to figure out where I belonged. For me, using my gifts to serve at East Lake Church made my value to the Lord tangible and changed completely the manner in which I find fulfillment in my life. And folks, you're not going to discover your spiritual gifts by sitting on your butt, no matter how hard you pray. You need to get off of your blessed assurance and do something. Do the wrong thing. You'll discover what you're not. That's a good part of the process as well. So how do I then continue and cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in me, through me? Well, begin with desire. Desire his gifts. Is there that want to? See, God has planted a desire for himself in every human heart. The Bible describes it this way. It's eternity has been planted in the human heart. You have this desire for the things of God. You have this desire to connect with God. It's there in every one of us. But we sometimes miss it. And, well, there's a number of reasons for it, but here's what C.S. Lewis said. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. I think that we get real busy. We have all kinds of pursuits and priorities. And a lot of the stuff that we're pursuing and our priorities are good things. Some of it's not so good, but some of it's good. But we can end up trying to fill up this thing in our heart that's been planted there for God and try to fill our hearts with other things so that we end up suppressing what the Spirit is drawing us to instead of embracing that and becoming fully alive in this life. That's what he's drawing us into. You see, that desire is giving us a glimpse of our eternal destiny. We are bound for another world. That's the reality. So Paul goes on to say in verse 31, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Well, what are the greater gifts? I don't think that means that there's a hierarchy of gifts. I think that what that's referring to is continue to desire the gifts. Continue to grow in them. And I think one of the things that is true is that the greater gifts, what's the greatest gift? The one that's needed. If someone is in need of healing, what's the greatest gift? Healing. You know, if someone is in need of encouragement, the greatest gift would be encouragement. It's the one that's needed at the time. And so pursuing, eagerly desiring the greater gifts is being in that place where you're saying, Lord, I want to be, you know, continually surrendered, consistently saying yes to you. I want to become to more consistently walking in the Spirit so that whatever I bump into, I'm available to be filled and gifted and deployed for your purposes. If someone's drowning, it does them no good if I stand on the bank of the river and give them a prophecy. Throw them a rope. Do something that makes a difference. You see, just because you say, well, I have the gift of leadership, doesn't mean you don't act with compassion. You do what's needed. Discover the need at hand and then ask God to gift you. And you might say, well, I just don't see that I would have any gift that would be that big a deal. You know what? Jesus put the bar pretty low when he said, if you offer a cup of water to someone who's thirsty in my name, you're acting on my behalf. Could you say, I don't know if I could pull this off, but maybe I could offer someone a drink of water? But if you're truly spiritual, it'd be a craft beer. No, I don't So desire to fulfill God's purposes, accomplishing his work. Desire any gifts that will help make that happen. Mark Twain said this, the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. I love that. Keep desiring his gifts and his purposes. And then develop and use his gifts. God doesn't want us to stop at discovery. He wants us to actually do something with what we learn. Here's a couple of verses that are not on your outline. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, do not neglect the spiritual gift you receive. So it's possible that you may have actually walked in some of this at some point, but you haven't been. It's kind of like going to the conference and you're so excited about it, but that notebook just sits on the shelf and never comes down. Is it time to open that up again? Is it time to rediscover this gift that you've been given? Here's another verse, 2 Timothy 1:6. Fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you. That again suggests that it can be neglected, that we can let it go dormant, that we need to do a little work to say, okay, God, I want to stir this up again in my life. And I realize that it's easy for us to disqualify ourselves. Well, you know what? When I was doing that kind of stuff, I was in a different place. And now I've got issues. I've got baggage. I've done some things. He knows what I did last summer. You know, and so you disqualify yourself. Well, I just want you to know that if you're disqualifying yourself because of some of the, you know, issues in the rearview mirror of your life, then it's not valid. Because Jesus qualifies you. And you know what? We say it around here all the time. Jesus is just a half turn away. You might feel like he's a million miles from you or a million miles from ever being able to use you. And I just want you to know that's not true. That is not true. He is always ready to reinstate, to reinvigorate, to fan into flame what he once placed there. If you're open, will you let him awaken in you again those good things that he designed? He wants you to use your gifts. Everyone has this desire to be significant, to make an impact. So how can we do that? 1 Peter 4, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So awaken to this reality of the Holy Spirit's activity in this world and your part in it. You are called to it. You are gifted. And yes, from time to time, you suck. And you do stupid things. And you do things you regret. Or bad things happen to you. And so you hold off on trusting God, or you somehow disqualify yourself. But God's right there. He's a half turn away, ready to embrace you and help you. And you know what? Like I said, when it comes to volunteering, getting into some ministry around here, try stuff. Try stuff. Sometimes we get the idea that God wants me to do what I don't want to do. You know, I hate kids, so I'm going to volunteer with children. Please don't. Give the kids a break, all right? Don't go there. A friend of mine at work and brought her sack lunch, went out, a nice day, went to the park to eat, and as she was sitting there, saw a homeless guy looking through the trash can and just, you know, new to this whole spiritual walk kind of thing and trying to listen to the Lord and felt like I should give him, you know, my lunch or some of my lunch or something like that. But she's a shy, introverted person, and this is like way outside of her wheelhouse, okay? And at one point, she got enough courage up, and she grabbed an apple out of the bag, and she walked over and said, I want to give you this apple in Jesus' name. She got a little religious about it, okay? In Jesus' name. And the homeless guy looked up at her and started laughing. He goes, ain't got no teeth. I can't chew it. And so she's like, okay. And you know what? But at least she tried, right? If everything has to go right for you and perfect for you before you'll try it, you'll never try it. Sometimes discovering the wrong way to do stuff is okay as well. I think about this kind of thing. Have you ever had that thought? You're driving, you're going, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so in a long time. I wonder how they're doing. But you never do anything about it. You know, I was thinking about so-and-so. But you don't text them or anything. Maybe, perhaps, that's the Holy Spirit. And this idea of following the Spirit is he's saying, I'd like to partner with you and reach out to that person. And so he gives you this thought. But we dismiss it. Well, that's just me. But what if it's not? Make the call. Write the note. Stop by. See what happens. See what happens. You may be partnering with the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, when you do that, and then you see God move, and you see his activity, it will ruin you. It will ruin you. You'll want more. You'll want to be in on more of what he's doing. It will mess up your life. I just want you to know that. It will rearrange priorities. And it will bring deep satisfaction. Many of you know who Fito is. He's our pastor in Playas and getting ready to start a new church in Zona Rio in Tijuana. Fito received Christ here in our church and then sometime after that went to federal prison. He is minor drugs and selling drugs and using drugs and pretty much everything about drugs that can be done. And he's also illegal, but he's never lived anywhere but San Diego. So he gets picked up, goes to federal prison. Well, during this time, we put him through Bible college while he was in prison. And I'd write him from time to time, and he was getting near the end of his sentence when he was going to be, as soon as he's out, they take him to the border and he's gone, deported. So I wrote him a note, and I just, at one line I put in there, I says, remember, Fito, you're not being deported, you're being reassigned by the Holy Spirit. And I thought it sounded pretty clever, actually. And but Fito heard something more there. And he felt like the Holy Spirit brought those words and it completely changed his approach. And he said, I receive that, Lord. The United States government, the Mexican government doesn't determine my path, you do. And I accept this path. And he has, you know, it's been an amazing thing that's happened down there, that they're, the work that God is doing. And he is super excited and super happy where he's at. And now they have started something called the Reassignment Hope Center. Because what they're doing is when they, you know, these people got out of prison, they're deporting, they just take them to the border, they walk through. There's no, we're calling ahead, there's going to be some people meet you. They're just on their own. Some of these people have never lived in Mexico. And then their families, many of them are joining them in, you know, this deportation. There's a great deal of anxiety and fear and loneliness. And so they've started the reassignment, Reassignment Hope Center. And now the church is there, and they're helping these people with resources and to connect in community. And it's because Fito heard that word and received it. He wanted that to be true for him, and he said, I receive that as a word from you, Lord. And I wrote it. I didn't know it was a word from God that will result in the reassignment hope centers that will populate the planet, but I do take credit. So what is it that you've heard that you wish was true of you? Have you ever heard anything like we've said things like, or you're reading a verse and Jesus says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And you go, oh gosh, I want that to be true, but it's hard to believe it. I have doubts about it. Well, doubt your doubts and trust God and appropriate that word that you want to be true. Lord, I want that to be true, so Lord, I trust you. And I choose to receive that word. What if you did that? And then what if our whole church decided to go ahead and be on mission and operate whatever gift God wants me to operate in at that moment and just say, okay, Lord, I'm on mission. Help me to see what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life at this time in this place. I'm open for business. Wow, I think we could tear it up. I think this would be a dangerous group of people. And what fun. It'll wreck you, though. It's going to mess up your life. Because stuff that you think is awesome right now might not look as awesome then. And I'm sure you don't want to give that up. Or even rearrange the priorities of good things. But you'll be glad you did. The last sentence in 1 Corinthians 12 clears up any remaining confusion. You know, do my part. My part is needed. It's important. But here's then what Paul says after talking about, you know, the body. And it's like a metaphor that everybody do their part. Don't compare. Even if you think that your part's insignificant. Here's what he says. But now I want to lay out a far better way for you. It's the last sentence of chapter 12. And then you know what he goes into? 1 Corinthians 13, which is called the love chapter, the Barry White chapter, the love chapter. And it's all about the love of God. And he's saying, pursue this better way. You know, if you don't get any of this other stuff right, if this whole woo-woo, follow the Spirit thing's too confusing, just follow love. Because God is love. And if you will follow the way of love, you're going to find yourself operating in those gifts. So let me, clear up any confusion you've got. What's the most loving thing you can do? Do that. Do the most loving thing. And you'll probably be on the right track. What would change if you decided, I'm going to do the most loving thing Thursday at dinner? When weird Uncle Harry goes off on his rant. And tensions rise. And siblings who are adults go right into those old roles that they used to inhabit. Or could we say, Lord, I don't know what could be, but I do want to say I'm available. Not just Thursday at dinner, but in my life. What might occur? What will you do? Matter of fact, would you grab that connection card and look on the back left side? This week I will. We want to be praying with you and for you this week. And if you look on that line, here's what I want you to do. If you'd say, yeah, I'd like someone praying for me. For what though? Maybe you'd write on that line, this week I will become aware. Or make the call. Write the note. Stop by and see. You know, what's that next right step? Would you... You don't have to do this, of course, but would you just put your hands in front of you like this? And just sort of represents an openness. I want to pray for us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and flood each of our hearts with your power and with gifts that will continue to lead us to your purposes in our lives and in this world. We're open for business, Jesus. Amen.